I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, White Sox fans, Brett Ballantini here hosting another Southside Sox podcast. It's number 22. We might call this parenthetically number 15 or 15A or so because one of the great lost episodes in Southside Sox podcast history happened a month, maybe 6 weeks ago with Lenny Gore. He's back with me. He's decided that he's not going to swear off Southside Sox podcast or any White Sox podcast. He's back. And we're seeing them. Before, I think we were talking in a car. It was just audio or some crazy thing on the phone, which obviously an amateur like me is not able to sort of pull off the recording of. So now we're zooming it. I think this is going to be intact, Lenny.
Well, Brett, if you can pull this off, Brett, without any hitches, glitches, all that good stuff, I will send you $5 to the charity of your choice. You just name it. That $5 is there.
You no promises me. Because, you know, you are a compadre with Joe Reese's Jumpin' Joe. He got a lost podcast, I believe, last year. So I guess about once a year, I just decide to.
You have to just lose one in the memory hole.
And
gone.
I got to tell you, I've said it before, but man, it was probably the best one ever recorded.
So it was so good.
A high bar to have to jump over here.
If it's me that I have to overcome, it's not going to be that difficult.
That's true. Yeah, you're going up against yourself. We're talking mostly in this podcast, we're going to talk a lot about the 2021 season because, you know, this week we've been pretty much, everybody's been talking, Twitter's been occupied with, and even on site, we're doing a lot of pros, cons about the offseason and really just how the details of the season are wrangling out. But one thing you brought up in just discussing this podcast was the fact that now with the Super Bowl over and us waiting now for reporting day and so forth, we're in maybe one of the biggest dead pockets in sports for the entire calendar year.
Yeah. It's probably the saddest like 3 weeks that any sports fan is going to experience for the near future. Cause we just had the Super Bowl and then what is it? It's like nothing, right? We got some college basketball, but even that's just in the middle. It's pre-March Madness. So it's not really that important. You got spring training, but it's really just pitchers and catchers reporting, which trust me, seeing the pictures of Yasmani Grandal in shorts chatting with Eloy or whatever in Arizona, it's going to be great and I'll take it, but it's just kind of just like watching guys warm up basically.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that right now as we're even beginning this dead pocket of time, places like Chicago, it's miserable. You're getting snowed on, you're getting iced on, you're warming up the car, all that nonsense. I mean, that just adds insult, you know, to injury. And especially
really
when
does.
Come out in Arizona, I guess that's sort of like the beginning of spring and everybody says, and they sigh, you know, deeply, but yeah, you're not there. You're still like, oh man, that'd be sort of
like,
nice
oh, yeah,
to sit on the lawn and
it's
watch
2
baseball.
Degrees outside. I just slipped out on some ice while I was out there shoveling. Why am I doing this? Why can't I just move to Arizona and just stay out there for 6 weeks? But, you know, I don't
and
have
this,
that kind of
and
scratch.
This year, because of, pandemic still going on and so forth, there was nothing like hitter's camp. Even last year, I remember getting like little tidbits. White Sox were sending out a video with Yasmani and Nick Madrigal and Andrew Vaughn, all of them doing like little interviews. It's sort of like, wow, we got even, you know, a few. We had a series of appetizers last year. This year, we didn't even know if and when the season was going to begin. This time about a week ago, MLB was throwing out its plan that said, let's delay the season a month. Let's extend it by a week. Let's sort of sneak in this like super lucrative extra round of playoffs that we've already sold to ESPN, but really hasn't actually been approved.
Correct.
What was your take on sort of the back and forth there? Because obviously the MLBPA pretty much immediately rejected it and said, hey, hold on, you're not cutting us in on important aspects, real important aspects, as we're approaching a new bargaining agreement. What is your take just as a fan and looking at sort of how that really quick back and forth went?
I think it just proves to everybody that, like, despite this pandemic, despite all the craziness and hardships that have gone on for the last year and change, that this last year may be the last year of baseball that we're going to get. I just don't think these two sides have any trust in each other. The players don't trust the owners. The owners don't give a shit about the players, honestly, and they'd rather play as few games as possible, just get that super sweet playoff TV money. And you knew the players weren't going to give up guaranteed regular season games for a few playoff games that only a handful of the teams are going to get, even if you added a couple more extra teams. So I knew that the players were never going to go for give us an extra round of playoffs, but lob off a week of games that everybody was going to get a check for. That was never going to happen. So, you know, just like before, they just kind of defaulted to, fine, we'll just do the regular schedule. You get 162 regular games guaranteed. But now we've seen, like, probably what they had to give up, which was, again, the no DH in the National League. We got the no DH in the National League. What else are we not getting out?
A guy who just randomly shows up at second base.
The second base guy.
And, like, bunting is now, like, important again or something. Jeez. I mean, essentially, tried shootout. How come nobody sport, Lenny? How come no sport can figure out how to do their overtime, right? I suppose the NBA does it best, but – hockey has a lame overtime. Football's, at least the college game, is ridiculous and lame.
You have your seven overtime games in college football. Just ridiculous. And I mean, if you want to be honest, I mean, overtime is, and I think I mentioned this to you earlier when we were talking, that I don't know what it is about America, but what is wrong with ties? When did ties become the worst thing in the world? Especially in a sport where we're watching pitch counts, we're watching innings, we're watching Matt Davidson get innings to pitch in the 14th inning, and seeing Adam Dunn throw 55-mile-per-hour changeups every when you need them. I suggest is, why don't we do like the soccer or like hockey does it, where, you know, if both teams get to a certain point in extra innings or after regular time, they get a point. You know, they should be recognized for finishing the game at a draw, and then give them the incentive of winning in extra innings, and maybe give them an extra 2 points, give them 3 points for a win, or only 1 point if you lose in overtime or extra inning. So, you know, if that will help cut down the worry about pitchers overextending themselves, and we won't see any more position players pitching because you won't go past like the 12th, 13th inning. That would be my suggestion. Yeah, honestly. I mean, I would be fine with it.
Point or not, it's essentially the same, because if you tie, that's still not a loss. But yeah, if what they come up with is this minor league rule, which again, in the minors, even though I still think it's sort of silly, I can see the argument of, you know, whether it's travel, whether it's wear and tear on young arms, which are obviously always a premium. Okay, I might buy it. You know, it's still just the minors and. Okay. I mean, I guess to all those towns and fans of all those teams, they might get up in arms about it. But at this level, not in a weird 60-game season where they're just rolling the dice and hoping they were going to get close to 60 in. But now that we're looking at 162 games where, you know, the relatively rare, it's not a huge percentage of games, but it's not a small amount either, that go to extra innings now are going to be sort of scarred by this very strange idea of just putting a guy on second base. And I mean, I'm again, if the alternative is that, which to me is almost like a shootout, might as well have a home run contest, might as well have a punt pass and kick competition. I mean, I understand there are still sort of some actual fundamentals that have to be in play here. You know, be able to bunt or maybe steal a base or know how to tag up on a sacrifice fly to score and win the game. But it's just, I don't want to seem like a grandpa, but come on. This is, I mean, again, for a full slate, going into it like, oh, well, yeah, this is just going to be the rule. You know, for a year then, what's wrong then for a year just saying, okay, let's call it a tie. Point or not, it's called ties.
Call it a tie, half a win, whatever you want to do.
And I understand some weird, like, non-committal teams are going to end up with, like, 20 ties or, I don't know, 40 ties this year. Well, okay, so be it. So in this
is the way it is.
You know, they're going to go like 16-40 with, you know, however many ties. Okay, fine. I mean, this is a weird year anyway, and we're still hoping we're going to get 162 games. We're hoping that everybody's going to hit the finish line, you know, at 155 plus.
Yeah, right.
So, to go in with that as the plan,
I'll give them credit for at least keeping the seven-inning doubleheader rule. I am a fan of that. honestly. And I'm not sure if they're going to do if they're scheduling these doubleheaders. I guess not, because they've already got the schedules out for all these teams, right? So, but well, in case of makeups,
right,
COVID-related, suspensions and all that kind of stuff.
It seems like it's been years since they've been allowed to have any scheduled doubleheaders. And to me, I always thought that's a great – if that's an in to get a few scheduled doubleheaders in baseball again, which seems to me – you got the compressed game. You're still getting two results that don't seem terribly bastardized, just trimming. Right. Going in what the rules are. You're not changing them midstream. It, as an opportunity to maybe you steal a few more days off for players. It's a situation that I can see as much more a win-win. I don't have a strong feeling about 9 innings versus 7, and certainly under these pandemic circumstances, I suppose it makes a lot more sense to try to do everything you can to create the safest game. I could see how a fan might say, hey, do I really want to spend my full
14 innings
price for seven innings? This is an asterisked season going in. We are all across,
right,
you're going to still have this season. It's going to be a legit season, so
right,
that one seems way less controversial and strange and trying of all our patients than
if the owners always complain, it's always, oh well, we don't want to give up a gate of revenue for a second game. Guess what? Yeah. You're not going to have fans in the stands for 90% of the team. So what's the difference at this point? So that was my take on that. I'm fine with the doubleheaders being that short.
And I don't want to. I mean, we've had a lot of. I guess you could say. I would say it's real talk, but it's negative. It's been a sort of negative week on Southside Sox. It's sort of a negative week in baseball in reviewing how the White Sox have done. And we're going to get that in the second half of our podcast. But, one thing that jumps out to me in what you're saying and having a bit of a negative vibe about how soon we'll see baseball again after the end of the World Series, if we get there this year, is that even – the DH, which I think everybody, both sides want, because even from an ownership standpoint, they're giving up a little bit more DH salary, but they're protecting the health of their pitchers, which I think is a win for them. But the fact that they're dangling that, 15 jobs they're dangling as a carrot, even though they could easily say right now, hey, listen, we know we all, both sides want this, let's just do it. They're holding that so they can say, well, look, we gave you this, so now give us $500 million in, in playoff revenue. As if somehow that's going to be an even trade. Things like that are not sizing up like we're necessarily going to see reporting day in mid-February 2022.
That's 2020, sure. No, not at all. Sorry, I'm not looking forward. Like, honestly, I'm looking forward to this magical run of White Sox baseball as perhaps the last season I'm going to see in a year or two. We'll probably have everybody vaccinated twice over by the time
I
get another season after this.
Maybe there'll be like little wildcat leagues popping up while baseball.
I know, right?
Doing anything.
They're gonna have beer leagues, I think, for all the players.
Yeah, we'll have woodbat leagues in every state. Hey, man, we got a chance, Lenny.
It's the Southside League, man. I'm ready. Brett.
You don't think so?
I don't want you to hurt yourself, Brett. I'm looking out for you here. Okay,
ready.
Are you ready? You good? Where are you playing? Where are you playing? What position you got?
Wherever you need me. I can play short. I can play middle field. I can play short.
Okay.
Wherever.
Thank you. You're the power play sync up.
We're about 1,000 miles apart. But, listen, I'll make it happen. If we can get a woodbat league going, come on.
I'm fine. I'm down. I'm down with it. Let's do it.
I like this. All right. Well, I guess this is a good time to take our little break. We thought that maybe the first half of the show might be a little bit shorter. You're going to get a couple, I haven't really listened to the commercials that we're running. You'd think I would do this, Leonard.
I mean, it is your show. I think you'd listen to it.
But I think some of the ads, I think we have fantasy football. I guess that's probably not going to be running. So you probably won't be hearing any fantasy football. If you are, then somebody is falling asleep at SB Nation. We had some kind of natural, maybe vegan, natural hair coloring. That didn't seem to really jibe as the 2 30-second spots. So you might be hearing one of those. Not really sure what folks will be hearing, but you're going to be hearing it in just a second. If you're watching us on our YouTube channel, as I always say, just sit back, shut your eyes for about a second, and we'll be right back. So we'll be back for the second half in just a second.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, all right, open your eyes. We're back. Second half of Southside Sox podcast, number 22. It's been long promised.
This is a pathetic episode.
Yes, right.
This is a
pathetic 15.
Episode. 22. No, we're going 22. We're going with the pathetic episode, right?
We went from Aguchi to pathetic. I like it.
There you go. There you go.
The lost Southside Sox podcast 15, lost for the ages. That also starred Mr.
Forever.
Leonard Leonardo Gore. He's back with me. I love the fact that he said, listen, I know you're a clod behind the laptop and sometimes like you don't record, but I think your faith is going to pay off this time. And hey, now you're a Southside Sox podcast star.
Oh, finally. Mom, I'm going to let me call my mom real quick and just let her know that I finally made it.
Speaking of.
Yeah. My mom.
We are going to get probably at the end of. Yeah, not speaking of you. Although, hey, hello, okay. hello, yes. Mama Gore. Mama Gore. Your boy made
I've
it.
Never called her that. Don't worry. Don't just never. That's okay. Mama's on my name. That's okay.
All right. Okay. We're going to get to a terrific December article Lenny wrote, which previewed, believe it or not, previewed the 2021 season. As we're getting closer to it, we're going to revisit that. But that's going to be in the second half, the very end of our podcast. Let's talk a little bit. Let's get back to some of that, let's call it negativity. I think it's real talk. But how about we just start? I think I've made known where I'm at with the White Sox offseason, so I should probably just pipe down. How are you feeling now that it seems like, at least if we're to believe Rakan, that the offseason's over. No more spending, maybe something minor, but nothing major, even though there's still guys out there. How are you feeling about what the White Sox did as this window of contention is flown open for 2021?
I mean, I think they did the best they could. Well, okay, let's stop. They didn't do the best they could, period. Let's start there. They didn't do the best they could. Now, did they do the best we reasonably, realistically could have expected for 2021? I think so. I think their additions have been fine. Fine to good. You know, the Lancelin addition was one of those good trades that makes you it makes you wince a little bit because you knew the piece that you gave up might have been something and Dunning, and I'm pretty sure he seemed like a great guy, the kind of guy you'd want to have in your rotation, but he's young and probably not ready to take the pressure of a championship season. Right. And to get Lynn on a one-year deal, you know, his walk year, hopefully he'll get that that Bauer-like renaissance and actually get a Cy Young this year and maybe become the number one or number two start in the rotation. So the Lynn move was good. The Eaton deal, I mean, let's be honest.
We can both put our heads in our hands on this one, buddy.
That was the one where you kind of wanted to strangle yourself so you don't have to feel the pain anymore. But to be honest, and now that we realize that that was the Jock Peterson money, evidently, that he turned down to then take another haircut to go to the Cubs. Eaton is fine. It's fine, I guess. I'm not going to give it the complete thumbs down. It's a waste of total money, but it's not the best use of $8 million. Let's be honest. They could have been used towards a Michael Brantley contract or towards the Ozuna contract, which, you know what? I want to tell Hector Gomez, don't tell me when any of our free agents are on a plane to Chicago again. Oh, okay? The planes miss our airport. O'Hare's a big airport. somehow these planes keep missing. So I'm going to tell people, stop telling us that free agents are on the way to Chicago.
You don't want to start syncing up with Bob Nightingale prediction.
Oh,
you
Lord.
Don't want that success rate. So, Hector, come on.
Nightingale's fine when it's the White Sox. Mm-hmm. He tells the truth because, mm-hmm. you know, Jerry's got the burner in his pocket True. Saying, Bob, you got to say some stuff for me. but, yeah, no, Eden was fine. I mean, I guess he's got veteran presence. I guess he has a ring now, so he could tell the guys, this is how you do it. And he's got some pop. I don't know how much he has left. He had a pretty down season last year, and I think he ended it on injury. So it wasn't even like he went through a full 60 games. So, I mean, it can't be worse than Mazzara. To be fair, so that's fine, I guess. And he'll platoon with Angle, and he'll probably come out when Angle will go in to, you know, Captain Nandler ninth inning ball to save a no hitter. so we got with the Eden contract, and then the Hendricks contract. You know, the Hendricks contract was good because the Sox are notorious for just paying premiums on closers. This is basically the Robertson deal all over again, but Hendricks is a little better, sure. honestly, than Robertson was when they signed him. So I guess it's like the chip. It's like they're patting themselves on the back saying, hey, we pay top dollar for a free agent. But it's like you pay top dollar for a position that normally doesn't really pan out over the length of a contract. Even the 13-year contract for Bryce Harper, years 8 through 13 aren't going to be maybe worth it. But at least those first 7 years are like God-level war-like seasons. I mean, a closer – it's not going to get you the level of production that, you know, a position player like Springer might have or Bauer might have done for
you. Let's not forget about the merch. Let's not forget about the promo. I mean, there's going to be a lot up front that would have really – I mean, obviously we're now relitigating past seasons. It just is strange to me that this is like the one strength, the one spot that you probably don't want to overpay and pay a premium price on. No doubt Liam Hendricks, he's the best guy out there. He's probably going to earn that contract. He's going to come, you know, he'll make a run at
that
contract. So it's nitpicking, but at the same time, there are these gaping needs the team have had, not just this year. It's not because some guy broke his leg. He's like, oh, well, shoot, now we got no center fielder all year. We've had some chronic issues, you know. It didn't take any experts to say we don't have a full starting rotation. I'm glad we got one-fifth of one this offseason. We still have 40% of our starts or nearly 40% of our starts going to guys who are not championship level. They may ascend to that. Yeah. They may, you know, drink the Ethan Katz elixir and be like, man, finally Dylan Cease, you know, has pinpoint control. Michael Kopech comes back like that. Carlos Rodon gives us more than 2 months of a season. It could happen. I mean, we do have some arms to throw out there and that's great, but man, this is a championship contending season for the White Sox. And we're going in with three starters, three great starters. Maybe as good a three as you know, perhaps are out there.
Last year, we had two starters. So, I mean, we saw in the playoffs what happens when you don't have a third. So, you know, I'll take that, right? Lynn, I'll ride with Lynn, Giolito, and Keuchel every day. You know, that's a killer top three.
Bad cop in these podcasts. I always find myself as the bad cop.
And yet, Brett, you have the most.
We got 3/5 of a rotation.
Brett, your voice is so positive. The way you say the words, it makes me think you're saying positive things, but I think when I listen to you, it actually turns out you're saying, like, literally the worst.
Acidic and grumpy. Put the mute on that guy.
Right. I'm only, you know, weed's legal, you know, in most of these states. I mean, you might want to look into it. Okay? I'm just saying. I'm no judgment here, Brett.
Lenny.
But I don't, but we're not.
Take a good look, Lenny. We're good. We're good.
Oh, okay. We're good. All right.
Listen.
There you go.
Listen. I mean, okay. You know, you play good cop. It's cool. But backup catcher, we got Nada.
Luke Roy.
I know we got guys who, you know, can fill. And, you know, if everything clicks, you know, Andrew Vaughn obviously is a blue chipper. But, of course, he hasn't played above A. And, again, let's seg a little bit here. We're getting a little bit of substantiation for our negativity, I guess, and my bad cop role with Pakoda coming out today saying the White Sox were an 83-win team. The mean, that, you know, whatever. The most.
It's the average,
You know, 83. And we can say, oh, that's dour. And, you know, the good news is the Twins, who I think a year ago they were putting up in the low hundreds of wins, which I was very skeptical about. I think they're barely cracking 90. So, I mean, it's not as if first place is that far off. But we're still in third place. We're a team that's going to have to scratch to get to 500. And yeah, part of the reason is because of these gaps that I guess the Pecota projections, again, another magic elixir that I don't necessarily deign to be able to figure out, is saying right, things like Vaughn is going to struggle in his rookie year, getting 400 plate
appearances. Which they almost do.
Zach Collins getting 200 plate appearances as your number two catcher. Terrible on D, is not really going to provide the offense. The rotation, you're not expecting, you know, five war from your number five starter, but you're hopefully expecting starter level. You want to edge close to two if you're giving a guy 30 plus starts, and it doesn't look like the Sox are projecting for that. So unfortunately, today is a tough day coming on the heels of what was sort of a rough week with some of the stuff we did publish again, which I think was sort of just reality check of, hey, this is where we're at, and this is what the off season was, and this is what it could have been. I don't think anybody's a kicking a dog over the fact that the White Sox had the worst off season ever. Of course, came away with Liam Hendricks. Nobody's going to argue there. The trade for Lance Lynn, even giving up Dane Dunning, hey, all right, you know, especially if we can extend him or get just that one good year out of him, fine.
Yeah.
But so much seemed to be left on the table. And when you're a championship contending team, you want to maximize those 26 roster spots. And we're not even maximizing our full rotation, much less maybe the last reliever in the pen or our right fielders or designated hitter.
That's a needy. We're basically an NL team at DH. We might as well throw our pitcher out there to hit. Because, I mean, last year was a god-awful sinkhole. But to your point on the Pecota standings, I mean, I saw the number. Everybody sees the number 83 and sees third place and somehow sees Cleveland ahead of us in second place. And I heard this on the radio. I was listening. Somebody mentioned that Pecota predicted the Royals back in 2013, 14, and 15, every year was in the 72 to 76 win range. And every year they won about 10 games more. And then what we all know, 14, they got the wild card and got to the World Series, the seventh game of a World Series, mind you. And then the 15, they outdo their projections by like 20 wins and win the whole damn thing. So the guys don't. And also, did you know, and I just heard this as well, the 2005 White Sox were predicted to be fourth in the division by Pecota. So people do not slit your wrists over Pecota. Pecota does not know anything. They probably don't even know what you have for breakfast today. So even trust me.
Even Baseball Prospectus probably advises not slitting your wrists over the Pecota projection.
It's against them. You can't
read their articles. I can't represent them, but I don't think so.
You can't pay their subscriptions if you're dead. Okay, so please don't do it. So honestly, I'm not going to put too much stock into the project. I mean, they probably are just more just back of the card type predictions. You know, they can't. When you have a young team, young teams are volatile. Young teams have the ability to just completely lose it for an extended period of time because the league figures them out for a minute, i.e. Luis Robert's second half last year where he just fell off the table. So I'm certain that it's impossible for all these players to – and that's the thing about the White Sox culture, it seems, is just that they – every year they have some actual success, it almost seems like everything has to go right. And I mean, when I say everything, like injuries have to be at a minimum. You have to avoid extended slumps, avoid suspensions or freak accidents and stuff like that. It just seems like every year that they're good, it has to be some weird confluence of events that happened. I mean, what, 2020, pandemic shortens the season to 60 games.
Yeah.
2008, you know, they had to win three one-and-done games just to get to a playing game.
In different cities.
They had to play three different teams in three different days just to get into the playoffs. I mean, it just seems like it's never just easy for the team to get into the playoffs. And then regardless of whatever happens in the playoffs, that's fine. It's a crapshoot. I'm not holding it home to, like, win the World Series this year. I'd like them. My goal this year for them is really get to the playoffs, win a series. After that, it's great. I want to see them progress a little bit every year. But the ultimate goal, and I'm sad to say this, that I just need to see them, one, get to the playoffs this year so they can be first-time back-to-back playoff appearance in their franchise history.
Yeah.
That would be nice. And that's sad that that's a goal for this franchise, but it is what it is. So that's what we need to see. We need to see this year, and God willing, 2022 actually happens to the point that a full season happens, that we get sustained success. And that's what I think the goal of this year and next offseason will be. Just, we want to build on the cheap contracts we got with all of our young stars, the Eli contract, the Makonda contract, everybody's paid up. Hopefully Giolito will take the Han, I'll take a good chunk of money that's going to send me for life, but really being undervalued in every aspect contract. And let's just carry this on for about 3-4 years and, you know, see if we can get a couple of playoffs in a row and maybe luck into a World Series again. Yeah. Who knows?
I think that's what's frustrating, though. And I think, you know, speaking for most fans, it's like, you know, it's out there. And I know they can't just write their own ticket. You know, I'm sure Han was on the phones. I'm sure he's still burning stuff up, even though he said, hey, no more moves. He's still trying to apply a trade and improve this team. Of course, it's his job.
There's always money. There's always money in the banana stand, Michael. Okay. Just remember that. There's always money in the banana stand. They will find some couch cushion change and buy a Yasiel Puig or something. Maybe we'll see.
But
which I know that would be something you'd be very happy for.
Well, you know, I guess until we learned what a what an interesting personal life he leads. So, yeah, I'm sort of he kicked me off the train. I have to say, I happily left the Yasiel Puig train after hearing about what a sort of all around dirtbag he is. But hey, you know, listen, you know, he's not coming anyway. It seems pretty.
No, he's not
coming. But I mean, that's just what frustrated me as a fan, is that, you know, it is out there. We want to know. I mean, we didn't get Zach Wheeler, but it sure was nice to know that the White Sox gave him an offer that was maybe the best on the board. And there were reasons that didn't have to do with the White Sox that he chose to play elsewhere. And I know you can't do that with every player either. I know it's not the first time the White Sox have done that. But this offseason, it just would have been nice to know, hey, listen, we know we need to fill that road. We know we need a fourth starter. They're acting now like Carlos Rodon is their fourth starter. Seriously. You know, I mean, if that's what you have to settle on, and I mean, it's not a problem for me in right field. If he's a guy we're signing, well, not even now, maybe mid-March or maybe right before spring training, because it's like, oh, man, everybody else is gone. Nobody wanted our deal. Schwarber said he didn't like the South Side, whatever. Okay, but who's left? And even then, I don't think you're paying him $8 million.
No. It was Jock got $7 million and probably had to settle for that. I bet you we could have gotten for like $5 million, probably.
I mean, the idea that Han opens his notebook at the winter meetings and Adam Eaton is even in the notebook, much less at the top.
Oh, I guess.
Let's knock this out.
It was underlined. It was bold. He probably had some highlighter on there. I want to say he probably had neon pink, you know, so he was ready. He was on the list.
And I've heard things like, you know, Tony La Russa wants a guy like Adam Eaton. He wants a closer, so you want Hendricks. Well, that's great, and I understand. Okay, he's the second most powerful person in the organization. He's still – I don't think he's typing up the contracts. I don't think that's his job. So Han can still say, especially if he didn't want to hire the guy in the first place, he can still say, hey, sorry, Tony, I tried. Sorry. No, it just fell right short. Adam was he was juggling a lot of other National League teams. Sorry.
Yeah.
Just because it's like Tony, he sits back and says, you know, he gets on his he gets his flip phone out. It's button number 2 for Jerry.
Call Jerry.
Call Larry. Number one, number one, of course, is Binnie's. Number 2, Jerry. And
no, number 1 is Uber. Then,
if only, maybe now it is okay. Back then, maybe, you know, I mean,
hey, you know what, Brett, you're getting down. I'm going to pick you up here, okay? I need you to get that happy stash, okay?
No, and it's important to say because I know I've said in the comments, I think even in the stuff I've written, and I think others have had, you know, this isn't a matter of getting down on the team. It is trying to talk real about it. Listen, I want them to win 100 games. I think this team, of course, has a bright future. Nobody's like, again, nobody's kicking them like they're, you know, like there's something. We're not kicking them like the Cubs. These are, you know, these are the part of why I think a lot of us are pretty fired up about this is that they are close. This is a supposed
we can see it.
Window. They benefited from the wide open playoffs last year, but they made the playoffs. They got that playoff taste that Rookie Renteria was always talking about. Hey, we just want to get him there. Han said, we just want to be able to, and this is like found money because, we're in the playoffs maybe a year earlier than we thought. That's great. And, that's why we sort of want to amp this up. If we as fans aren't holding feet to the fire of this team, I can hardly imagine what stuff they'd come up with if there wasn't a little bit of outrage.
They shield Jerry from any of the criticism. I guarantee you. I don't think Jerry listens to 1 second of anything we say or gives a shit about anything we say, to be fair, and which is fine. He's a billionaire. I wouldn't listen to most people if I had $1 billion, So I do what I think was right, and I just would tell people to shove it. So I'm not surprised that Jerry's kind of like seemingly oblivious to the whims and the wailings of his lower serfs.
And I know you got to do that. Hey, listen, he's the captain of the ship. He's going to steer it how he wants. But Jerry, come on, we're reasonable people here.
Yeah,
nobody's going to yell at you.
Some of us are. Come on. Yeah, some.
Well, all right. You said you're going to sort of usher in a little sunrise here. Let's do that as we're winding up this podcast. Let's talk about the 2021 season. We don't think much is going to change with the schedule. I've heard word. We know that Florida's Grapefruit League has changed up its schedule, and they're dividing the state into East and West, so some are going to get shaved. I've heard that the Cubs are revising their schedule to trim off, I think, 4 games. So I think it's safe to say there might be a reduction in spring schedule for the White Sox, but in terms of regular season schedule, we don't anticipate anything really changing up at all. So I think what you wrote on very nicely, very entertainingly back in December, giving us a preview of the season. And again, that article, though I'm sure all of you listening and watching have read it already, it's still linked in this piece, so you can go visit it again, find out what the heck we're talking about, is your season preview, which is something you're doing every year with you. And let's just break it out right off the bat and talk about, in the strange pandemic circumstances, the White Sox are opening on the road. They're opening on the West Coast. They're playing, I believe, 8 games in a row, including their home opener, without a break, which seems like it's been a built-in thing for teams every year that I can really even remember. And this year, in the 1 year that it probably really is useful, the White Sox don't get it.
And you know what? And back in December, I'm glad that we're probably revisiting it now because we have a lot more information now than we had then. And they probably want to save those off days for in the middle of the season, because if we're talking about potential outbreaks or we need to juggle the schedule around, we don't want to waste the normal 2 home. Like, they usually have the 1 home opener and then they'll have the day off for like weather. And then they'll go back, and then sometimes you'll have another day off for the next week's home openers for the other teams that you go face in a cold city. So that's like 2 off days that you're just throwing away at the very beginning, and then you don't have any kind of leeway and flexibility in the middle of the season. So I kind of get that. It is weird. I've never seen a season where they start off with 8 straight games without a break. Even coming in from the West Coast, they're going to start in L.A., and then they're going to go to Seattle, and then they're going to get on the supersonic jet and play a game against Kansas City before they even take a break. So I'm looking forward to that, because honestly, I loved it when the Sox started on the West Coast in the past. In my youth, I remember they opened the season in Seattle, and like opening day, which was the opening night, and it was like 9 p.m. And I knew I had school the next morning, but I had to stay up, and I was up to like midnight watching the play the Mariners or something. So being on the West Coast is great, because again, we get a week of basically guaranteed games, because we're not going to have a rain out or a snow out.
Right.
So that's fine with me. The first month is actually kind of interesting in the fact that they play Cleveland 3 times in April, 3 separate series. Actually, it's the full season. I think they do the home opener in Cleveland for them. They come back to Chicago to do another series, and then they're in Cleveland to wrap around April and May. So they get like 9 of their games out in the first month with Cleveland, which is great.
I was going to say, I almost want to fast forward just to the second half, because it seems like the entire first half is Kansas City and Cleveland. Are there other highlights in the first half aside from the fact that we play like 28 games against Cleveland?
Not really. I mean, the first half is I honestly think the first half is a cakewalk for the Sox. I mean, they have the central teams, and honestly, they have honestly, they have a little bit of Minnesota, but they play the Mariners a few times. They're playing the Angels. They're playing the Orioles. They're playing the Red Sox in the first month. I mean, honestly, they should have a winning record probably by the end of May. They should have at least a winning record, maybe by hopefully five games at least, if not more. The whole month, the whole first half is, like I said, a very strong, a very positive half for them. If they can get a strong start in the first half, get their legs under them, we don't have the typical Cuban cold snap that happens to all of our players for some reason in April, and they all can't hit a lick. If they can get past that and be above 500, be close to first place, then I think the second half, which is going to be a little tougher, we'll have a bigger cushion to survive a second half, which, yeah.
So to make it clear for anyone who's a little bit confused watching and listening at home, Leonardo was saying, White Sox are going to finish up that first half, get into the All-Star break about 70-20. That's even with Ashley Rodon as fourth starter, Gio Gonzalez at fifth starter. Let's say about 70-20, maybe 60-30. And second half is where it gets sort of juicy. There's a lot of fun stuff in the second half. In July, we've got we got an I-94 series up in Milwaukee, which could
be
a Southside Sox road trip meetup. And we've even got some Dodgers action. July, coming out of the break, is a pretty cool month.
Yeah, and actually, it's you're not going to see the Sox very often because they got 9 home games the entire month of July. And that includes the All-Star break, which is in L.A. So that would have been a month that, you know, you wouldn't have really much activity on the South side, even if fans were in the stands. And hopefully by then, or maybe August, I'm thinking, and what I'm guessing is we might be able to get some fans back in the stands in Chicago. So, you know, that'd be fun to see the second half push with a quarter full of the stadium, but maybe a quarter full. So I'm looking forward to that. August is going to be a nice month because we get both of our Cubs series in the beginning of the month and the end of the month. So I'm very, very looking forward to listening to Len Casper call some Sox Cubs games for our side this year, and to have to listen to them wail about how they have Javi Baez when they really should have Tim Anderson on their squad, but they can't have Tim Anderson because he's ours. No, they cannot.
No.
And then, yeah, I mean, honestly, the September schedule, you know, it's really not that.
It gets a little bad. I mean, September, right? The stretch looks pretty good for the Sox. I think.
Yeah, they're going to have some. They got the Reds a couple times. They got the Red Sox again. They end the season against the Tigers. We'll get to see if AJ Hinch should have been the guy. I guess we'll know by then. But I know. Things are not looking still not going to be good for them.
I wasn't even in favor of hiring AJ Hinch, and I know but he'd be a better choice.
The alternative, not so bad, huh? Not so bad. But yeah, no, this whole season is going to be interesting. Obviously, it's been 2 years since we've had a full 162 games to watch. And I, you know, honestly, it's without the shortened kind of crunch of 60 games. You know, 60 games is not a lot of games. You can't just lose a few in a row because you're basically out of it by the second half. Now you got your normal, here we are. We're about 3 months in. We got 3 more months of games to go, God willing.
That's what got Keuchel's beard all twitchy last year, because it's like, well, wait, hold on. We're like a third of the way through the season and we suck. And, come on.
And I forget about how epic that wasn't. And I think the next day was the four home run game, the four homers in a row. Somewhere around there.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully they won't need the rah-rah women for the Gipper from Keuchel again this year. But that's gonna be Eaton's job, obviously. He's the straw that stirs the drink, remember. So Eaton's gonna get up on his soapbox and then get up on his other soapbox so he can see everybody eye to eye. And tell them we got to win this one for Tony, and you know they're going to go on a 20-game winning streak or something.
And, you know, not to descend into too much Tony La Russa because we'll go on forever. But one of the more interesting dynamics among many, you know, because let's face it, it's not all bad. I mean, the guy is a Hall of Fame manager; he's a Hall of Fame baseball guy. Yeah, but the one strength that the White Sox had with their leadership was relationship in the clubhouse. And in fact, if anything, maybe Ricky Renteria was a little. Perhaps a little too soft, maybe a little too fatherly to the clubhouse. Yeah. It's going to just because clearly there's a void now. I don't see Tony La Russa walking the clubhouse, Pat and Rums, and I'm not sure I see anybody necessarily on the staff. Maybe Miguel Cairo is going to be the designated guy to connect with players and so forth. It'll be interesting to see how that dynamic plays out, because we went from Robin Ventura, who was stone-faced. I mean, I think he had some rapport, but I wouldn't exactly shout it from the mountains. To Ricky Renteria, who clearly it was his strongest, the strongest aspect of his managing, you know, for all you want to say about him. And, you know, I'm sure these players, a lot of these players that came up with him are going to be looking for that and looking to that. They may not need it. Eloy Jimenez, you know, he's a big boy now. Still a big baby, but a big boy now. You know, what happens when we hit those dry spots? Is it going to have to be Keuchel's beard getting twitchy again to, you know, read a riot act, or you know, maybe to pat some hineys? I don't know. That's going to be interesting thing to see play out this year, because, you know, that's one thing we can clearly go into the season saying there is a void there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've come to grips with the Tony La Russa hiring. Honestly, it's one of those things that, you know, it's, again, the shock in the moment was too much to bear, and that lit Twitter on fire for a good month, I think. And of course, not withstanding his eventual DUI, pleading. So obviously that's done with, thank God. And, you know, good for him. He doesn't have to do any jail time, thank God. But on the field, that's all that really matters is Tony La Russa going to be the guy that shapes this team into the championship caliber team that we want it to be? And I think ultimately, if that's what they hired him for, that's his job. I don't care about, you know, whether he's going to talk well or whether he's going to be friendly with the media. If he can just get this team to play as professionals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, play every game as hard as they can for the reasons that, you know, they're here for, which is, you know, they're making the money now, so they got to put up a shut up. You know, that's fine. I'm going to be on Tony La Russa's side as long as they win. That's all I care about.
Tony, we know you're watching. So listen, here's to review.
Put down the cocktail.
Delete Binnie's as your number one speed dial, replace with Uber. That's a real simple switch. I'm guessing somebody's already done that for you, but in case, do it.
It's just get it done. That's fine.
We just don't want to be a laughing stock. Please.
That's a tall order, bro. That's going to take a little more than a couple of
us. Oh, look at that. You flipped a bad cop. I like it.
So, well, somebody's got to be the bad cop, Brad. You're just too damn positive.
And who's to say that between now and the actual opening of the season, we're not talking again on the podcast, Lenny, and we're taking a look at the season again. Who knows? There might be a couple more moves we need to review and say, okay, wait, Cleveland actually spent some money and brought somebody in, or hey, we have a fourth starter now. How's that going to maybe change the complexion of things?
Yeah.
Or who knows? As we get closer to the season, we may even have some formal Southside Sox roadie up to Milwaukee you put together, and we'll have to talk about that. So you might yet again speak on, not on a lost podcast, not on a early February podcast, but on one maybe closer to the season, preview the season. But no doubt, let's do this again soon where it actually records, we actually release it to the world, and everybody can see how much fun we have.
I had so much fun, Brett. Thank you very much. And I hope this isn't the last time that I see you, you know, on this wonderful technology box.
Leonard Gore, coming soon to a Killer Bees podcast near you.
Maybe.
Certainly going to be revisiting the Southside Sox podcast, because, of course, you are a veteran of the Southside Hit Pen podcast. You know, it's a little tough to keep up with where we've been at. It's been quite a whirlwind year plus.
We wear many hats here, Brett, and I'm fine to be part of the team.
I just tell you which one to wear. Put your gear on. You know, it's right, like when Hawk wears his WGN shirt instead of his Comcast shirt or whatever. You know, I'll tell you ahead of time which hat to wear, and boom, we'll do it.
You got it. So let me know when and where. I'm here.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening, watching, reading. Real fun interaction going on in the comments this last week or so. You know, responding to some of the stuff we've been putting out there about the season as we're getting closer. Obviously, we're going to have a ton more prospect stuff. We've got our prospect poll going. We're doing our top 100 countdown from 100 on up. I think, we're maybe mid-90s right now. We got a lot of room to cover there between now and the open of the regular season. Of course, any of the breaking news that happens, if there actually is any sort of breaking news in terms of White Sox personnel, we'll have that covered. Who knows? One of the bylines might even be one Leonard Gore. It could happen. It's happened before. I'm sure it's going to happen again.
Thank you very much. And by the way, rest in peace, Hank Aaron. So sorry for his family and Led. I'm sorry for the loss for his family. And and Pedro Gomez too. Just want to shout out for him. What a tough loss for baseball there. And just honestly, just kiss your loved ones. Tell them you love them. You just never know, man. Just tell them that you're thinking about them.
That's true. Well put. Thanks for saying that. Adding that in there. That's a good end note. We'll wind up podcast number 22. And keep on listening. Keep on reading. And keep on watching.